Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. Listen again for the word of the Lord. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A few weeks ago, someone left a bar of soap outside the office door of our music director, Jeffrey Meeks. Now, it's embarrassing enough when your spouse suggests you stink. It's worse when someone at work does it. But it's hard to embarrass Jeffrey. So he went around asking anyone who would listen about the soap and whether he should get back to daily showers. Now, I don't think he may be the only person not doing daily showers these days. Many of us have relaxed our personal hygiene during COVID. I have a friend who hasn't cut her hair for a year. Sometimes I forget to brush my teeth, and I know a number of you have worn the exact same clothes for 3 days in a row. And I don't know about you, but I'm a far less clean person when there's no one to impress, no guests to entertain, no strangers' noses to offend. But we all know that if you go too long without a bath, everyone can tell. About 10 years ago, I was voluntold to be a chaperone for a youth ski trip, and it could have been the end of my time working with youth. We were staying in a church in Banner Elk, and there was a shower in the basement we were all sharing. The very first morning, two of the first people that went in the shower found out that the water was freezing cold. They informed everybody on the trip how cold the water was, and a full half of the kids decided they were not going to shower that weekend. The next day, one of our chaperones, who was handy with plumbing, checked it out and found out that the hot water was wired to the cold tap and the cold to the hot, and everything was fixed. And I dare say he saved that trip. Because there's nothing worse than being on a bus with the heater running, full of people who haven't showered in 3 or 4 days. Now, the benefits of bathing go beyond cleaning your skin and smelling nice. If it were just about cleaning, we could make do with a sink. But instead, our homes include showers as big as closets and garden tubs so big they can empty a water heater. We are not the first people to recognize the benefit of a good long soak. The Romans were famous for their public baths. The Japanese developed a network of thermal pools. The Finnish are known for their love of saunas. I understand you can even buy portable saunas in Finland to take with you on your camping trips. Across all of these cultures and geographies, it's understood that the bath cleanses not just the body, it's also cleansing the soul. Now, public bathing isn't a new idea. And sometimes it's linked with religious bathing, religious immersion. And religious immersion isn't a new idea either. Jewish tradition contains lots of examples of ritual washing. Just read Leviticus. Sometimes you immerse your hand, sometimes you immerse your whole body. Sometimes the immersion is connected to a life event, and other times it's connected to the religious calendar. There are lots of reasons that a person in Jesus' day might have taken a mikveh, a ritual bath. These immersions signified a renewed spiritual commitment and an inward transformation. The mikvahs, of course, were not just about getting the body clean. Really, primarily, they were about getting the soul clean. And so in our New Testament lesson, we find John the Baptist offering mikvahs at the Jordan River. John didn't invent this idea. He was standing in a long tradition. And so he cries, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." And those who repent signify that repentance by letting John draw them through the water. This act of being drawn through the water is woven throughout our scripture. Remember, it's through water that God delivers Noah's family from destruction. It's through water that God delivers Moses to new life, raised by Pharaoh's daughter in Pharaoh's house. It's through water that God carries the Israelites away from the Egyptian army and into the wilderness. It's through water that God brings their descendants into the promised land. In fact, the Israelites cross that same Jordan River where we find John baptizing. Baths are good for the body and the soul. But the truth is, we need more than a tub of water and a bar of soap to be made clean before God. No matter how much we scrub, we cannot rid ourselves of the smell of sin. And there is not enough water on earth for that. Even John admits that his baptism is a shadow of the baptism that will come. His baptism marks a human commitment to God. But a more powerful one is coming, whose baptism will mark God's commitment to us. And this is the baptism by the Spirit. This is the baptism that Jesus brings. We notice that Jesus' ministry is marked by these moments, moments when a familiar tradition is recast in light of the Messiah's presence. So the Passover meal becomes the Lord's Supper, the festival of weeks, the celebration of the Israelites receiving the Word of God as the Torah. That becomes Pentecost, receiving the Word of God written on our hearts. The mikveh, the ritual immersion that makes one presentable to God, becomes a baptism, not by water, but by Spirit. And in this spiritual baptism, God's faithfulness is front and center. God claims us. In Mark 1, verse 11, we read, "A voice came down from heaven, 'You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" This is God's claim on Jesus. And it's God's claim on every person who follows Jesus' footsteps. When we are baptized, we are drawn through the water. We move from life to death to new life, and in that new life, we participate in the resurrection of Christ. And we are called beloved. It's not as simple as repent and be forgiven. That is an important part of the Christian life. The baptism is about being claimed by God and called by God. We are God's own, and we live in response to that truth. And so our task is to live into that truth, to turn to God and trust God with the broken pieces of who we are, to open ourselves up to God's healing touch in every area of our lives, knowing that we are already claimed. But this isn't easy. We don't like to admit that we are sinful, that we need God's love. We don't like to admit hard truths. I know this because we don't even admit trivial truths. We go to the dentist, and he asks, "Have you been flossing?" And every time we say yes, even when our gums are bleeding. We lie to the DMV about how much we weigh. We lie to the car mechanic about the last time we changed our oil. We lie to the pediatrician about how much TV our children really watch. We lie to the trainer at the gym about how much we've been exercising. We lie all the time to cover up our weaknesses. We even lie to people who could help make us better. We lie to ourselves. We lie to God. And we cringe in shame before the very one who stands ready to make us well. The toddler insisted that she had not eaten the cookie. Even though her mom saw her, her dad saw her, the crumbs were in her hair, and chocolate was all over her face. And that's a funny story because it's just a cookie. But what if it's a grab for power? Or vengeance, or abuse, addiction, adultery, pornography, extortion, greed, jealousy, spite, slander, violence, hatred, pride, divisiveness. What if it's something bigger? These are not just sins that we confess personally. These are sins we are called to confess communally. And we ought to. Because when we confess to the God who claims us, we take the first step in healing. And we should not lack the courage to be made well. See, the Christian life begins with baptism, but it doesn't end with baptism. We are called continually to remember that baptism, to remember whose we are, and to live into that truth. So how do we do that? Well, every week we gather in worship, and every week we do remember our baptism. We don't go through a long ritual, and we don't involve water or oil, but we do say together a prayer of confession. And while you might not have connected confession and baptism so tightly before in the past, maybe we should. John Calvin connected the two. He called baptism the sacrament of penitence. Now, granted, he was railing against the Catholic Church when he said that, but I think he was on to something anyhow. Because our baptism, that one-time acceptance and receiving of God's claim on our lives, is effective across all of our lives. It unites us with Christ. It confirms our adoption as children of God. So God claims us, but we also know God doesn't leave us as he found us. His Spirit works within us to move us toward abundant life. And so in this weekly prayer of confession, this is one way that we look back to our baptism. We remember whose we are. We remember the one who makes us well, who brings healing and restoration and wholeness. I wasn't always Presbyterian. I grew up Methodist. I went to a Catholic school and a Baptist school, and I landed at a Presbyterian church in college because they gave us free lunch on Sunday. Now, I showed up for the lunch, but I stayed in part because of how much I loved worship. And the part of worship that always stood out to me, the part I had never experienced really anywhere else, was this communal prayer of confession. A few years ago, I told someone with all sincerity that the prayer of confession was my favorite part of worship, and then I remembered communion, and then I remembered baptism, and I have a lot of favorite parts now. But it was true in that moment, because this is a prayer that I really need. I miss it week after week if I don't have that chance to confess. And it's not because I like to beat myself up or dwell on my shortcomings. It's because in that prayer, we have this opportunity to turn to God and recommit and trust that God will and already has covered our sin with his grace. Without that prayer, I feel like a person who hasn't taken a bath in a few days. I feel like without it, I'm not in the right frame of mind. I start to forget whose I am. And the regrets and the shame and the bitterness and the failure pile up, and they start to make me less than God calls me to be. But through confession, through remembering our baptism, we are able to fully and faithfully lean into God's call. And we remember that God calls us beloved. Jeffrey finally found out who sent him the bar of soap. It wasn't a commentary on personal hygiene. It was just a Christmas gift, a good-smelling Christmas gift. Now, Jesus also received some good-smelling gifts at Christmas. The Magi brought frankincense and myrrh. Maybe Jesus smelled like the manger still. I don't know. I do know the real gift of Christmas wasn't given by the Magi. It was given by God. The real gift is more valuable than all the frankincense, gold, and myrrh we could muster. At Christmas, we receive the gift of Emmanuel. And the gift is not just about a new baby. It's about the grown man. It's about death on the cross. It's about resurrection and the life to come. The gift is about God's overwhelming and undeserved love for us, a God who gives and forgives over and over again. This is a God who pours himself out for us, into us, and through us, who claims us, who cleans us up, who restores us, who calls us beloved children. May we have the courage to live fully into that grace and his truth. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.